The death of Walter Cronkite was announced shortly before 8 p.m. on Friday, July 17th. The longtime CBS Evening News anchor was an icon of the business, as big as it gets, really. But given our production schedule here at OTM, the news broke too late to be included on our show. And so we sat back that weekend and read the obituaries like everybody else and learned a great deal. Did you know, for instance, that Uncle Walter is so identified with the news business that in Sweden, an anchorman is called a Cronkiter? And speaking of anchorman, did you know that the word was coined in the 50s to define Cronkite's role on broadcast TV? Turns out, despite what many media eulogies would have you believe, neither of those facts I just asserted are exactly true. Ben Zimmer, executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus, traced some of the myths surrounding the man who was once the most trusted in America. He joins me now. Ben, welcome to OTM.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the Cronkiter bit. Read me, please, the excerpt from the AP obit.
Well, the obituary that ran in many newspapers came from the Associated Press. The version that ran in the Chicago Tribune, for instance, said Cronkite was the broadcaster to whom the title anchorman was first applied. In Sweden, anchors were sometimes termed Cronkiters, that's with a K. In Holland, they were Cronkiters, that's with a C.
It scans. I mean, it sort of sounds possible, but what you did was go back to see if it was, you know, true. What did you discover?
Well, I was not able to discover any evidence in Swedish, Dutch, or any other language that news anchors were ever called Cronkiters. So I tried to figure out, well, who started telling this anecdote? And when I first looked, the earliest example I could find was in a 1978 book called Airtime, The Inside Story of CBS News, written by Gary Paul Gates, who was at one time a newswriter for Cronkite. Then in 1979, David Halberstam wrote The Powers That Be, and similarly he had, in Sweden, anchormen were known as Cronkiters. It seemed that these were the earliest examples of this story being told, and what I did was I actually contacted Gary Paul Gates to find out where he got the story from. And it turns out, he says, he got the story from Halberstam.
Unfortunately, David Halberstam died about a year ago, and you cannot go to him to find out where he came up with it. Now, let's assume that he did not make this up out of whole cloth, that somebody in Sweden at some point, maybe in a newspaper column or whatever, referred perhaps puckishly to one of their news presenters as a Cronkiter. But what process do you suppose that what may have begun with a single episode has come to be conventional wisdom in the obituary sphere for Walter Cronkite?
Well, I think that this is a classic example of an anecdote that's simply too good to check. And since the late 70s, when it was first reported by Halberstam and Gates, it was picked up and embellished along the way. And in the 80s, Holland entered the picture. But this, similarly, does not have any evidence to support it, so that if you ask a native speaker of Swedish or of Dutch, hey, so a news anchor is called a Cronkiter in your language? They'll say, what are you talking about?
Now, this is not an answer you give lightly. You have testimony from an actual Swede, do you not?
Yes, there is something that I wrote on a blog called Language Log, and one of my readers was Swedish and chimed in on this and said, I, Swede, 66, multilingual professional translator, have never seen or heard that word in any language. He went on to say that he was afraid that Mr. Cronkite is totally unknown by an overwhelming majority of Swedes.
Okay, so much for Cronkiters. How about the term anchorman itself? Anchormen, I guess, originally were men who hoisted anchors. I know in tug of wars, or would that be tugs of war, the guy at the end of the rope is the anchorman. Was Cronkite indeed the first news host to get that title?
Well, there's a bit more truth to this story than the Cronkiter story. It is fair to say that the word anchorman was applied to Walter Cronkite beginning with the National Political Conventions of 1952, And it's really the sense of anchorman that we're familiar with, someone who's coordinating between the different news reporters and serves this sort of central pivotal role. But he was not the first person in television to be called an anchorman. There were certain figures on panel shows. So, for instance, the quiz panel show Who Said That featured John Cameron Swayze, who himself was a news commentator, and they called him the anchorman of that panel. And similarly, for news panel shows, there were certain correspondents who were the sort of important correspondents on that show. One was Griffin Bancroft on the CBS show Capital Cloakroom. They called him an anchorman in 1950. So that's 2 years before Cronkite.
Lawrence Spivak, Meet the Press?
Lawrence Spivak from Meet the Press was also referred to as an anchorman in early 1952. So by the summer of 1952, when Walter Cronkite was sort of being introduced to the nation, and this was a very important broadcast, it was the first time that the political conventions were being telecast from coast to coast. They were very exciting conventions because there was real doubt about who would be nominated in these conventions. So he got a lot of exposure in the summer of 1952, and he was introduced as the anchorman of the broadcast. That really did popularize the usage, but it's too much to say that it was actually coined for him. And whoever actually first called Cronkite an anchorman, generally it's held to be Sig Mikkelsen, who was the president of CBS News at the time, must have been drawing on these earlier uses coming out of panel shows and that sort of thing.
Okay, now there were a couple other things widely reported about the life and career of Walter Cronkite. Was he indeed the most trusted man in America, or did, you know, someone make that up too?
Well, that one's a little shaky also. The whole idea that he was the most trusted man in America came from a poll that was done in 1972 where the poll company wanted to determine the trust index of various public figures. And so they had mostly politicians on this list, including Richard Nixon and various others. And so Cronkite beat out the politicians because generally people don't think of politicians as very trustworthy.
But nobody asked about Sandy Van Oker.
Nobody asked in that survey about John Chancellor of NBC, Harry Reasoner of ABC. So we don't actually know how he would compare at that time with these other news hosts. But from then on, he was simply known as the most trustworthy figure in America based on that poll.
I hesitate to ask you for the moral to this story, but you know, you have to see the irony in the idea that the death of one of the most important figures in television news has been widely reported with, you know, scant regard to the actual facts. That's got to have a meaning larger than the particulars, no?
I think it does, and I think that we can best honor the great legacy of Walter Cronkite by making sure that this kind of reporting is accurate and is trustworthy. And in fact, the Cronkiter story had been repeated by Walter Cronkite himself in his own memoirs. Even Walter Cronkite, trustworthy, avuncular Walter Cronkite, needs to be checked out to make sure everything is really factual.
Well, Ben, thank you very much.
Well, great. Thank you for having me.
Ben Zimmer, and by the way, Zimmer is the Dutch word for authoritative, is executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus online at visualthesaurus.com. Oh, and Zimmer is not actually the word for authoritative.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.